This is Russ Dizdar. We're ready to start another evening. We are in the midst of a series on knowing the impending danger, knowing truth, knowing weapons, spiritual weapons, and then Friday night, knowing God. Hey, listen, so great to have you. It is, one hour with you and 1 hour to share. It's sometimes goes by so quick. But I thank you for all the notes and letters and so forth that come in, because it's good to hear. Good to hear those who have been, you know, touched in some way. And of course, our heart and our goal is to see anyone who has never met God, doesn't know God, come to know God. Now, that's a tremendous thing. There's no shame in that at all. And there is absolutely no shame in wanting to see anyone, any place, anytime come to the living God. Because I know one thing, that during this hour, it'll be very supernatural. Some individuals will download this later on from the archives. Actually, I've been noticing thousands are doing the, you know, going to the archives now, and that's a great thing too. So we just simply say this, whenever you listen, whether live right now or later on down the road, I know one thing. The living God, the living Christ, is right there with you. If you're a believer, he never leaves you or forsakes you. And if you don't know him, let me tell you something. He knows all about you. He loves you. Well, and he wants you. And he's there waiting for you to open the door of your heart. Russ Dizdar here, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Want to say thank you again to Steve Quayle and to Todd and to all those that have made the hour possible. We deeply appreciate it, and we trust that, it's a providential time. It's a providential door that God has opened up, and I trust that there's going to be, well, as we pray, that God would stretch out his hand and minister to you in accordance with the needs that you have. Now, I want to tell you something. About 35 years ago when I came to Christ, and again, I came out of the pagan world, man. I came out of bar fighting and getting in trouble and drugs, drinking, all that kind of stuff. Now, I tried to clean my life up, even getting out of darker occultism. I was in a martial arts that had a temple that we went to where the master there from China taught us about what was called Golden Buddha, to how to meditate to the point of leaving the body and eventually allowing ascended masters to come to us. So I had a lot of weird experiences. In the midst of all of this and those experiences, someone had the guts to come in and tell me that Jesus Christ loved me, that I needed him right now, and I never heard it like that before. And I surely never felt that kind of power and presence off of anyone that I've ever met. And that's the night that I got saved. Christ came in. Everything changed. I knew that darkness had gone out and the Spirit of God had come in. And just as the other experiences were real but wrong, this now was God. And I want to say something. I've never searched. I have never searched for the answer since that day. I've only, because of the immensity of God, had the, we all do as believers, that we can come and learn, you know, come to the feet of Jesus and learn of him. The Bible says, and this is for all the New Agers and psychics and remote viewers and others, if you read Colossians, you'll read where it says about Christ, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's immense, and it's infinite, and there is so much to learn, to receive, to interact with as we're growing in the Lord. Now, in the midst of this, and my brand new faith, I came home from a Bible study one night, and I literally came downstairs into the basement room that I had had for years. That's where parties were done. All kinds of stuff was, you know, that's where all the other junk that I lived, all that was done down there. Now, this time I walked in by myself, came in. Of course, I'd already taken off all the posters and just everything that I felt was not of God, I got rid of. But as I walked in and I laid on a little couch, I'm telling you the truth before God. I felt as though something horrifically evil walked in right after me. I mean, literally into the room. It's almost as though I could feel it walking, coming close to the couch. So much so was the experience that I didn't even want to look up. I buried my head. I'd only been a believer for about a month. And so I buried my head in the couch and just began to call on Jesus. I just said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, deliver me. I just kept saying that. I didn't know what else to do. Next thing I remember, I woke up in the morning. It was utterly peaceful. There was nothing else going on. I remembered that God must have just utterly protected me and I must have fallen asleep. It was an incredible thing. And so I've been on the one side before coming to Christ. And then on this side, please understand something, that on the other side, the battle is not experienced because you're his. The devil owns you. He really does. And the spirits that we sometimes give into and listen to or participate in some kind of counterfeit spirituality, well, as long as you go along with it, they don't do anything. They don't bother you. They don't come after you. As long as you yield to them and want them and you think you're getting some kind of elitist insight, knowledge, and power and whatever else, well, they don't care. It's when you find out who they really are and when you come to the living Christ. I'm telling you tonight, we're talking about a spiritual presence that is an ancient hate. It is an ancient hate that willfully, violently ripped itself and turned itself inside out. I'm talking about Ezekiel 28, when the anointed cherub, once anointed cherub, violently rebelled against God and literally disintegrated his sanctuaries, desecrated them, and he was utterly changed. Now, he went after a third of the angelic host. We know that he swept the ancient dragon, the Bible says, swept a third of the stars in reference to the angels. So we know that there are literally probably millions, billions. Now the issue is, they're on that side. And we're physically on this side. They can bring influence to us. They can get into people's lives and possess them, and we can even see manifestation. But they can also get into lives where they have influence. They can get into writings that they've inspired. They can get in, well, they can come up in through rituals. Listen, for all the real Luciferians that would listen, or the Satanists that would listen, and even again to the physicists and others like Jack Parsons, U.S. rocket scientist, who performed incredible black magic, satanic magic power. Matter of fact, it's Jack Parsons that believed Christianity was an enemy of humanity, and that all Christianity needed to be destroyed. Here's a man enveloped, saturated with dark spiritual presence, and he began to reiterate what they do. And I'm telling you right now, because I've dealt with hundreds of cases of exorcism, deliverance, I'm telling you that the nature of the dark side, the nature of a demon, the nature of Satan himself, you got to understand how dark, how lethal. We're talking about an ancient hate that will do anything to steal, kill, murder, destroy, whatever. And we've been told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, we've been told by the Spirit of God in many other places in the New Testament, that the end of days would be ramped up and more of that presence would be felt, I believe, in the air, in people's lives, even in institutions. Some political ideology will be nothing more than demonic didache, dogma, ideas, thoughts that have been given, like with Hitler and the Nazi Party. Globalism, from its inception, from its inspiration, comes from the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around the earth, the spirit who is now at work. Now that Greek word work, it's a word that's used of believers of God at work in you. And so we're talking about a supernatural operative work. Now, as I mentioned that, I'm going to give you tonight the four A's. Awareness, authority, armor, and action. I'm going to give those to you here in a few moments. But let me just mention that the night that I felt that dark presence walk into my room, I've heard this story from many other people many times. We did a live show on this a few months back. It's literally a global experience. People feel a shadow, something walking into the room, a presence, something even maybe speaks to them, or they feel something brushes by them. We're talking about the dark side having the rights given by humans in some way, a ritual, something's been done, to where they can begin to come through. They can manifest. They can their presence is, if I can say it this way, you can sense, you can feel, you can. Well, I've had even people say that they've literally, by the Spirit of God, have seen that dark presence. There's billions of demons. And according to Ephesians 6, there are rulers, there are principalities, there's powers. The Greek word there, kosmokrators, that word referring to this host of spiritual fallen beings in the heavenly realms. The Holy Spirit calls them evil and wicked. And they have one nature, one will, one agenda. And it's being, it's measurable right now in society. And we haven't seen anything yet, my friends. Hey, listen, if you're brand new, or if you've been new lately, my name is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you'd like to write before the show starts or maybe during the show, sometimes I can answer those messages live and let you know about them. The answers and so forth live. And so if you want to, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And again, if you want to know everything about us, and there's hundreds of free downloads of MP3s at shatterthedarkness.net. So we hope that that will be a help to you. Now, tonight, as we get ready, I want you to know also that we have a newsletter that goes out right now every week. It's September to May, it's every single week. And if you'd like that to be sent to you on a weekly basis, just go to shatterthedarkness.net. It'll tell you how to do that and get the Preemptor newsletter. And that always has extra broadcasts, podcasts, teachings. And we've been putting up little clips of the unedited portions of the book, The Black Awakening, coming out. And that will be, actually, we'll be sending that out tomorrow. So check it out on shatterthedarkness.net. Friday night, we'll be back here at 6 p.m. and we'll be in the fourth part of Knowing. Now listen, if you've missed Monday at 6 or Tuesday at 7, then we have been putting up archives. And the only thing I can tell you to do is go to shatterthedarkness.net and look where it talks about the live show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then it'll say Archives Here. Once you click on Archives, I've been trying to put up every show that we're doing live and the ones that Steve Quayle and I have done, and we'll keep adding and adding to that every single week, at least three or four of the broadcasts. So again, thank you. Sunday night live broadcast we're going to do dealing with the satanic infiltration of the Catholic system and of the Vatican and the rituals that may be going on. And we'll touch on that. So tonight, though, is the third part of the series about how to protect yourself, how to be strong in in spiritual battle. Now, for those that are believers, please understand that Ephesians chapter 6, what does God tell us? I mean, if we've read this, and I've had people again over the last couple of years, hundreds of people say, Russ, we're not hearing this anywhere. Nobody's teaching us this. And all I can tell you is it's in the scriptures. Just keep reading the scriptures and learning the scriptures and studying the scriptures. When I first got saved and started going to a church, I got to hear a sermon once a week. But that wasn't enough for me, man. I had to buy Bible study books and materials and study verse by verse by verse by verse and chapter by chapter by chapter and begin to get it all in so that we can know it well. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it talks about how when we use the Word of God consistently, that we experientially build the ability to discern good from evil, to have a sense of discernment. I've got a series that we're doing right now. It's free. On discernment, we're going to be trying to put out one or two per week. And we have one on the Antichrist and so forth. So check that out if you'd like those also. Tonight, we're talking about our weapons as believers. And now, Friday night, I'm saving really kind of the best for the last Friday night. It's about how Christ, it's about his living personal presence, his ultimate omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, over us, in us, around us, how he alone is the ultimate protector. So that's Friday night, knowing God. Tonight is knowing what we, you know, as believers. Now, when I, 35 years ago, buried my head in the couch and just said, Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you something. If that's all you know to do, you're calling on the name that is higher than any name in existence. You can read about it in Ephesians, where his name, after his death and resurrection and ascension and glorification, he returned to the glory he had with the Father before he came. And he was given a name. I mean, the angels of God worship him. And every knee will bow at that name. The name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says the demons tremble at that name. We can be saved. There's no other name given to men, you know, under heaven to men, whereby we must be saved. And so please understand the name, the Lord Jesus, the Christ of Scripture, the Christ of eternity, the living Christ that died and rose. The name of Jesus Christ sends shockwaves into the demonic world. That's why when he walked around, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see those that had demons, they were literally forced to manifest by Christ's sheer presence. And they had to scream out. Every demon knew who he was, even though the people didn't know. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. We read that in John chapter 1. I have found out along the way, I've talked with hedonists, nihilists, existentialists, agnostics, atheists over the years. People like my father was for years, didn't believe in God, you know, cold, hard, didn't, you know, where is God? Where is his existence? I will tell you one thing. In every demonic possession case that I've dealt with, in 25 years, every demon knows that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, Savior of the world. They fear him. They know judgment's coming. And when the authority of Christ is exercised, they though they hate it, though they screech and scream sometimes, though they try to fight, they are utterly, utterly under the authority of the infinite, infinite, immeasurable Christ. And that's a great thing. It's a good thing to know that in a world where we as the human, you know, as humanity opened the door to this, by the way, but Jesus has come to shut the door on this. Remember what Jesus said in John's gospel, referring to the prince of this world? He said, the prince of this world has nothing in me. He had no legal right to Jesus whatsoever. And let me tell you something, when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's all about legal rights. Spiritual rights. It's all about the laws of engagement. If you give them room, they will take it. If you call on the names of demons and find ritual books and do the stuff, they will come. Those experiences of demons and demonic powers, they're real. But they will take you to hell without redemption, without getting out of it. They will, you know, you will be deceived, lied to, and shredded. I mean, take a look at Mark's Gospel chapter 5. A naked man cutting himself, living among the tombs, where a Jew shouldn't have been. He had supernatural human strength. I mean, he was supra, beyond human strength. That's why I worry about the military. That's why I worry about a lot of people that talk about, you know, that they've got human enhancements that they can perceive and discern, but now they've got an enhancement that they can leave their body, go to the ether, remote view, do a lot of other things. Satan is pushing the weaponization of demonic powers. It occurred in the Old Testament when a king that was battling Israel and losing took his son to the wall of the castle or fort or whatever, sacrificed him to a demon god, and the powers enabled them to beat Israel. When Moses was praying with his arms up in the air against a nation that would have called on the demon gods, and they would have done everything, including shedding blood, to call on the powers to advance them and destroy Israel, when the prayer went down, the pagan, the demonized nation, weaponized nation, began to beat Israel. When the prayer arms were up and intercession was going, the powers of God was, you know, again, the idea of the laws of engagement. You see, prayers are not answered because we think about them. When we actually utter the prayers and seek God, that's what helps. You can call it opens the window. God answers prayer. Not just little ideas and thoughts we have in our head, but actual prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. We talked about that on Monday. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, you've read this before, you know, in the book of, you know, Corinthians, probably very clearly, where we are told just simply that the warfare, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That means that as he unleashes the ecclesia, the called out people of God, born of the Spirit of God, now we're temples of the Spirit, now we're marked, we're Christ's. You got to understand, the dark kingdom hates with a lethality, if I can use that word. He hates anything that is God's, anything that is Christ's, anything, the Word of God, you got to understand the sheer, passionate, raging hatred. That's why the Spirit of God would tell believers in 1 Peter 5 that your enemy, the devil, prowls around and, well, he's making noises like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's why I'm saying that believers, if we've understood the Word of God and believed the Word of God and you know, really understood this spiritual reality that we're living in, then we would know these things. We would know that, yes, that side is lethal. Yes, it's a warfare. Yes, the devil's doing what he does. Yes, seducing spirits are coming. All this is true, but we also know that ultimately Jesus alone is our protector. I'm going to emphasize that Friday night. Simply his name, calling on his name. I mean, you know what? Can I just tell you something real quick about it? I'm going to tell you this Friday, but I got to tell you now. My daughter, as she grew up, you know, being, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, I, as a parent, was extremely familiar with that little voice. As a matter of fact, my wife taught her some of her first words. You know what they were? Daddy. Daddy. You know why she did it? She told me this. She taught my little daughter along the way to say, Daddy, because in the middle of the night, whenever she would wake up, you know what she'd say? In the middle of the night, Daddy. You know, I'd hear that little teeny tiny voice, and I could not, I could never neglect it. Never. I got up, no matter how tired, no matter what time in the middle of the night, and I would walk over there to see that little baby girl and see what was needed. Whether it was to hold her, change her, take her to where she can get fed or feed her, and just be with her. And I'm just a human father. Jesus said, how much more your heavenly Father? And so I want you to know that God's relational love for you, when you cry and call his name, he knows your voice. And calling on the name, someone, you know, in a crowd calls on my name, says my name. I turned around. I looked to see who's doing. When we call, if you're lost and you call on the name of the Savior, Christ, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe on you. Save me. Come into my life. I believe on you. You know what? He's going to come into your life just like the infallible Word of God says. And as a believer, you call on his name in prayer. You use that name in spiritual authority. Well, I tell you what, listen, get real close now. There is no other name higher. We're talking about a name with infinite, infinite presence, power. We're talking about a name that if you added up the sum total of all angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, and added them all together and collectively called their names all at the same time, it could not and would not equal the infinite backing, authority, power, presence, height, breadth, depth, length of this name. That's why the Bible says at the end of history, and it's true, you know, if you're somebody that's on the other side, just as every biblical prophecy so far that should be fulfilled has been, all the rest will be, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that comes out of Daniel 2,600 years ago that it's reiterated in the book, first chapter of Revelation, that every eye shall see him. And in reference to those who are still on the earth that are lost, all the earth dwellers will mourn. Those who've taken the mark, those who've been committed to the dark side. And even those who pierced him. We're talking about the visible return of God in locality, in the person of Christ. That's why there is in Revelation 19, five hallelujahs. Go read that today. Look what each hallelujah is about in reference to, can I tell you, in reference to God visibly returning in power, descending, the end of evil, the end of sin, the end of death, the beginning of the millennium, the beginning of peace, the end, you know, the beginning of no war, the beginning of, the beginning of indestructible immortality. I wish New Agers would get a hold of the real revelation of God, instead of the counterfeit. You're getting gypped, deceived. Finite presence cannot lead you to eternal life. In their nature and in their will, they will never turn you to Christ. They're opposed to him. And Christians need to know that there is an opposition on the earth, and that Jesus taught that in the end of days that opposition would be manifest in an unprecedented way. Does that mean that we should sit around and fear? Absolutely not. God gave us a head up so we would know. We wouldn't be confused. We wouldn't be running around saying, you know, what's going on? If you know biblical prophetic revelation, you know what's going on. You're able to do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost very clearly. You know what he did? When the Holy Spirit came in fulfillment of prophecy of Joel and the power of God came down, he was able to say to the people, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. Just simply that. And so I want you to know that we will be able to say that at times. This, what is occurring in the world, the New Age movement with hundreds of millions of people yielded, believing in that alternative spiritual stream, I believe is the fulfillment of what we've been warned about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, when God, the infinite, uncreated Holy Spirit, says, he literally says with expression, this is very expressed by the Spirit of God, that in the latter days, seducing, they're called planos, spirits, imposters, They're going to come. They're going to come to deceive people. They're going to come to operate in people to bring about didache of demons, teachings, dogma. Listen, I hear a lot of New Agers say they don't want anything to do with dogma, religious dogma. That's exactly what you have in the writings of Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, David Spangler, Robert Mueller, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and on and on and on down the road, all the way to, well, listen, I said enough about all that. I'm going to give you now tonight the four A's that we need to know as believers. Got a pencil and paper maybe tonight. Maybe you're just listening in the iPod later on. Either way. By the way, I've had people say, you know what, we download these and we make CDs and give them to others. Hey, that's fine with me. That is absolutely fine with me. The first A, A number one, awareness. Awareness. Now, I mentioned on Monday knowing the danger, because there's spiritual warfare. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 10. It's very clear. When we're told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but powerful, they're of divine origin, is the Greek word. They're of theo, of God. They are of God. To the destruction of strongholds. That is fantastic. So I think that tells you that we are going to be in, you know, when all of a sudden thoughts and imaginations and other things come to us. In Ephesians chapter 6, when the arrows from the evil one, which are not, listen, you know what those arrows are? They are involuntary feelings, involuntary thoughts that are striking people with lies. They're all about countering the Word of God, trying to get the Word of God kicked out of your life so you can't believe it, trust it, and grow strong. For every lie of the devil, there's a Word of God that will kick it out. I'll say it again. For every lie of the devil, every one of those arrows, those flaming arrows sent to us, a lie, there is a truth that it's trying to dismantle. And the Word of God, as we read about the armor, and we'll talk about that in a moment, if we have that armor on, we're going to be covered in every single way. There is no more powerful, discerning, able, ready, and I would say even fruitful believer than those who truly have on that armor. But I'm talking about awareness, first of all. Again, you can read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when Paul talks about, you know what he talks about? That they are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Of the devil's schemes. It's about the devil's, well, methodius, this methodology. And Paul says that we're not unaware so that we will not be outwitted. You know, that's vital when you don't want to be unaware when you go to buy a major product. When you go to buy a home or a car, you don't want to be unaware. You want to be absolutely informed. And so I think that's true spiritually. And since the devil works in secrecy, hiddenness, deception, since he's behind the scenes, behind the curtain per se, the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to give us the heads up. We're going to have the revelation. We're going to have the insight so that we will not be unaware. The idea is the Word of God will give us awareness of the presence, the intent, the methodology. How does Satan work? That's what Scripture gives us. So that when we see that happening in our lives, like in Job's case, when there is a spiritual attack or spiritual oppression, oppression is when that dark sense of cloud comes over you, you feel like God's away, there's agitation and you feel even depressed and suppressed. And all around you is darkness that's kind of pushing on. And you feel this feeling that God's not there, that you're powerless, and all this sense of lie comes into your feeling from the dark side. So what do you do when that oppression's there? See, I want you to be aware that oppression can come. Jesus said to Simon Peter and the rest of the disciples, they didn't know what was going on. He said, Simon, Satan, and it has the idea of just now, has asked to sift you, to make war, to fight you. But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And of course, they went into this big frenzy, and Peter's out there. He doesn't know what's going on. He gets so agitated, frustrated. He's so confused that when Peter, and fearful, that's what, listen, when you got fear and confusion, it's coming from the devil. When you got fear and confusion and this weird antsy agitation, it's coming from the devil. It really is. In Acts chapter 16, when a demonized young lady's following Paul and the team around, and this python demon spirit in her, and she's spouting off, probably in a mocking way, these are servants of the Most High God. Well, you don't want a demon spouting that off when you're trying to preach the gospel. The Bible says Paul was troubled. The Greek word has the idea that he was annoyed, agitated. I've found this to be true when I've been around demonized, demon-possessed people, or when I felt oppression, when I felt that warfare coming in against me, those arrows, and all of a sudden like a dark cloud. People say things like, I don't feel like my prayers could even reach the ceiling. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I feel, you know, and if they feel agitated, depressed, suppressed. Well, I'm going to tell you in a moment what to do. Now, the other side is also the idea of attack, like when you read Ephesians 6. And the idea of the reason we put on the armor of God is when the day of evil comes. And every believer is going to experience oppression and attack at times. There's a third level, we call it attachment. Ephesians chapter 4, when it says, be angry but don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give, listen, and get, it's telling you not to give the devil a foothold, a chopon, a legal right, a way of a doorway to come and get a hold of some fleshly sinful part of your thinking or your acting or your actions and try to hold you there and keep you defeated. Now that's if you do this. And some of you listening right now, you might have something in your life where you, if you live in the flesh sin nature, in a hidden way or any other way, usually it deals with the areas of, well, bitterness is a big thing. Anger, bitterness, rage, those are big things. And the enemy can come and he has a right then to hold on. Because you've put the garbage out there, and the idea, if you put the garbage out there, the rats will come. Because they're there to see if they can find, you know, to outwit you, to somehow find a way to defeat you. And usually that's through crushing your faith, pushing you into fear, and stealing the word of God from you, or making you, or leading you, or pushing you into some kind of sin. Remember in ancient Israel when it said, Satan rose up against Israel, and he enticed David to sin. See, Satan knows what will happen if we jump into sin, whatever else, we know that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit, and if we get into some backslidden state, we know that that's going to bring the discipline of God into our lives, Hebrews 12, right? Right. Hey, by the way, you're allowed to answer back, but and we're telling you again, if you'd like to during the show, shatterxml@sbcglobal.net. I'm going to tell you right now, because of the volume of letters that come in, I don't always have the ability afterwards to write back. And so I'm trying to get to as many as possible. And appreciate, dear friend, just sent a word in tonight. I heard you this morning on the Power Hour with Joyce Riley. We were on this morning with Joyce for 2 hours. And so it's very important that as believers, and there, this person is writing in, is asking me if I can address how the enemy can piggyback on traumatic events in our lives. And we'll touch on that here in a moment. I'm just telling you right now, and this is part of it. If a believer does not have an awareness that the devil's there to attack, to devour, to bring oppression, to bring some kind of attack into our lives, to try to defeat us. I mean, Peter didn't know what hit him. That's why he stumbled and got agitated to the point that he's cussing. Listen, let me tell you something. If you get so agitated and frustrated and confused that you find yourself cussing, stop, step back, and say, you know what? Now I realize oppression is around me. All this junk coming in towards me. You need to stop, lift up your voice in the name of Jesus Christ, and clear the air around you. I call it clearing the air. Sometimes I just simply, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, get out of here. There's that idea of James, I resist the devil and what he's trying to do, and the Bible says he will flee. You know, right then and there, as I begin to, you know, when I feel that cloud of oppression, I might lift up praise and worship, speak the word of God out loud, but rebuke everything around me. Why would I want to let that stay with me day after day for a while? Or if I feel the devil's attacking in some way, trying to bring events in my life, uncanny, satanically synchronized events. When Satan synchronizes events, it's all for the worst. When God providentially arranges events, it's all for the good. Obviously opposites, right? So be aware of how Satan works. Be aware how he can work on another person. For example, a demonized, demon-possessed, rapist, sexual predator that attacks a young girl or young boy and rapes them and hurts them, demonic presence can transfer over and cling to that wounded area of their life. And that's why they seem they can never get rid of it. And I'm telling you that in every case, whether it's oppression, attack, or this piggyback, you know, this transference, or whether it's covens that are summoning power, which is happening all around us, summoning demons, they know warfare. They know, listen, you've got to understand, they know how to target pastors and churches. I've dealt with so many of them. And I've only hit the tip of the iceberg. They know how to target pastors and churches and send. Look at that concept. It's biblical. If you look at, Revelation 16. But it happened in the Old Testament when they conjured demon powers to get in. And when those who serve the demon powers and the demon gods, of course, they become the conduits, the doorways, and the demons want to use them to get at God's people, God's mission. That's what it's all about. Now, we've been given weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as we read in 2 Corinthians 10. They're powerful. They're of divine power. And number one, awareness. The Word of God will give you awareness. The Holy Spirit will make you attentive. And I always ask in my prayer time, Lord, you know, by the Holy Spirit, is there anything coming? Anybody sending anything? Anything going on? You know, just as Jesus gave a heads up to Peter and them and said, hey, Satan has asked to sift you. He's coming. You know, Lord, is there anything going on that I should know? And there I'm saying, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Just like that prayer that we've been taught, deliver me from the evil one. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy. So I ask God sometimes, I say, Lord, destroy the devil's work. Save people, but destroy that evil, lethal work. Be aware, read the word, study, think upon it, ponder it, meditate on the word of God and learn. Second thing is authority. Now that's simply in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. When Jesus was telling the early disciples, about 72 of them, you know, hey, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out more workers. The fields are white, and that's true today. And then he taught them, and he sent out these individuals two by two on the field to preach the kingdom, which involved the gospel. You can look in Mark's Gospel chapter 1. The first things out of Jesus' mouth was to repent and believe the good news, because the kingdom of God is here. The basileia of God, the kingdom, was the rule, the power breaking into the fallen world. And it involved inseparably the announcement of the gospel. You're going to see that all through the book of Acts, the disciples preached the kingdom of God and of Christ Jesus. One example, look at Acts chapter 8. Philip going into a demonized city where there was demon-possessed people and a high priest that held power over the city. And one believer goes in there because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They are of divine power. He understood the authority. Every believer should be able to sit back and say, based on Luke chapter 10, go ahead and read it, 17, 18, 19. Jesus says to the disciples when they come back, they're to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. Disciples come back filled with joy saying, even the demons, you know, submit, you know, or do what we say is what it means. They're following the orders as they command them in Jesus' name. Jesus says in the perfect tense of the Greek, meaning at the moment of salvation with the abiding result that you have permanently the authority of Christ. I have given you authority. Every Christian should say right now, I accept that. Come on, Christian. I accept the authority that Christ gave me. That's appropriation. That's recognition of what you have. Conferences and places I've been as a pastor all over, it seems to me that 80% of the body of Christ doesn't even know that they have this authority. It's obviously then 80% of the body of Christ doesn't use it. What is the authority for? One thing. It has nothing to do with striking humans. In that verse that Jesus gave, and in the example that occurred experientially in that chapter, he said, I have given you authority to trample. This is the idea of destruction, crushing, to trample snakes and scorpions. Those are just figures in New Testament revelation of the demonic realm. I have given you authority to trample the demonic realm. Then he says these words. And to overcome, Greek word Nike, to have a decisive victory over all the power of the enemy. Then Jesus says, and nothing will harm you. That's why I've said again and again, the safest place to be is being a strong believer with the awareness, the authority, the armor, and living on the field in active ministry. That's the safest place to be. When you're, you know, if we cower back and hide and live in ignorance, we're going to be hit up, swallowed, pushed into a corner. The great place to be is in active ministry. It's where God's power is manifest. It's where we're able to not only know our authority, but use it. So when I rebuke any kind of oppression around me, or any kind, when I feel like somebody has sent demonic presence against me, or I feel the devil's bringing attack, or if the Spirit of God tells me, you got to get to know. This is where prayer takes time. Listening to God takes time. God wants to give you a heads up. There's times where the Holy Spirit gave me a heads up for somebody else to tell them in prayer. God showed me this is what's happening. And for them to then, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, but then use your authority in prayer. And so I do that if I feel oppression, if I feel attack, if I feel satanic warfare where they have summoned demons and sent them at me as a curse. They're doing that more and more and more. And so what happens is I've learned not only to rebuke those spirits that have been sent and command them no differently than a person that has a demon in them, to command them to shut up, to confess how they got in there, and command them to get out. Now, we'll do a series on exorcism or deliverance down the road. You know, how really to do it. What if you run into a demonized man? We'll deal with that down the road. We got a lot of things to talk about here. So I hope you'll keep coming back. Listen, brand new folks, Rust is our shatterthedarkness.net. We are on some teaching tonight that deals with the awareness of the enemy's work so that we won't be outwitted. That's important. We don't want to be ignorant. That would be spiritually, just spiritual ignorance. We don't want to do that because it lends itself to defeat. We want to have and appropriate the authority of Christ so we can rebuke the dark powers, trample them by commanding them, get out and leave. It involves an oral order. I'll say it again. That's what Jesus did. All I do is look at what Jesus did. You can look at it in Mark 5. You can look what Paul did. Paul did a great example in Acts 16. When it came to a demonic presence, he just commanded it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get out, you know? And so that's what I do when I ever feel, you know, well, a possessed person, a person that has oppression. We've had many people come in, hundreds over the years. They feel, I got this cloud over me. I got this feeling over me. You know, so we pray it off of them. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden they feel the cloud goes away, but we need to teach them to do it because I don't want them to come back to me 10 more times and have me do it for them. You don't need me to do it for you. You do not need me to do this for you. Why? Because the living Christ dwells in you. You have authority. You can get your awareness. You can speak out in the name of the living Christ, Jesus, in Jesus' name, and command things to get back. You can submit to God, resist the devil. The devil will flee. Now, let me give you the third thing quickly. The armor of God in Ephesians 6. Now, we should take a whole week on that sometime, too. But simply, the Spirit of God says to be empowered, it's in a passive there, to be empowered by the mighty strength of God, or to be this idea that there would be a manifest, you know, it's talking about a manifestation of the strength of God, the power of God. How do you get that? Starting in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10. How do you get to where the presence and power, the power and the strength is exerted in such a way, literally God's presence is manifesting through you? Look what the scripture says. Put on the full armor of God. When you put the full armor of God on, that's like opening the door for that full presence and power of God to be expressed through you in a manifest way. Now there's truth, there's righteousness, there's peace, there's the helmet of salvation, there's the shield of faith, there's the word of God. Listen, in each case, two things quickly. You appropriate or acknowledge each one, but you do them. We receive by faith, we manifest by obedience. I accept all the truth, Jesus the truth, the word of God. I accept all the truth, but I need to live the truth. I need to live by the truth. By living by the truth allows, it's like opening the window and letting God come through. When you let the word of God come into you and you accept truth, and then you put it into practice, that's when the manifestation, the presence, power can be experienced. Now I accept the righteousness of Christ, clearly. But God wants me to live and walk. Now, in obedience to God, when I'm living in righteousness, I'm living open. And the Holy Spirit's able to literally manifest in my obedience as I accept His righteousness, that I'm His righteousness in Christ. And that I'm now living it. It's not just acceptance, it's also living it. It's the idea, too. I accept Christ, the peace of God, and I'm completely yielded to the peace of God and now ready for ministry. The preparedness that comes from that peace. And then think in terms of salvation. You know the depths of your salvation. You know how to lift up the shield of faith. Let me ask you a question right now. Is your shield of faith, that is your faith up or is it down? If your faith is down, you are open to the fiery arrows. You know what I've done before? Lord, is there any fiery arrows, any communication from the enemy, any lies, whether by involuntary feeling or involuntary thought, that I need to be aware of, that somehow I've accepted or is, you know, aggravating me? There's been times the Lord said, well, there's this or there's that. And I'll say, you know what? I renounce that. Get out in the name of Jesus and accept the word of God over it and find release. Lift up the shield of faith and you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Use the word of God in, like Jesus did, example, Matthew 4. Quote the word of God in the midst of rebuking the powers of darkness. I pray that God delivers me. I pray that my mighty Jesus that loves me, when I call on his name, he moves and works among me. And he said he'd be with us to the very end of the age. And that has the idea of he's working with us. As a father, if I can get up in the middle of the night and go see my daughter when she calls on my name, please understand, God is infinitely personally aware when you utter his name. Even before you mention it, you know, God is so present. So present. He really is. Never leaves you, never forsakes you. That's the word of God. And the lie would be the devil, through some experience, trying to steal that joy from you. Put on the full armor of God. You can take your stand. You can manifest the power of God. And I'm telling you what, you can feel, know, and feel this great power and strength of God. The last thing is action. We only got a couple minutes left here tonight. The idea of stepping out in obedience. James chapter 1, don't just listen to the word of God and then walk away and forget, because we're deceiving ourselves. It doesn't do anything unless you put it into practice. Put worship into practice. Put studying the word intensely into practice. Put praise and worship. When I got saved, I was an old rocker. I didn't know how to sing. I've never been a singer. But man, when I was saved, the Spirit of God was in me, and I began to learn a few songs, hymns, whatever, and begin to express those. God inhabits. God is in, man. He's in the prayers. Listen, for New Agers and pagans, and listen, even Satanists out there, come to the living Christ. We're talking about the infinite power of God, not the demon substitute, counterfeit stuff. God loves you. Come out of it and come to Christ. Come out of that atheism and come out of that, you know, come out of that. You don't have anything. You're lost all the same. God, listen, when an atheist gets saved, they're just out there spouting off that God is so real. They now know. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Awareness of the enemy. Authority of Christ. Armor of God. Action. We're told this in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we are to be, well, the idea of alert has the idea of awareness, self-controlled. We're to be active. We're to be people of action. You know, and so I'm saying that, you know, do you have your prayer time? Do you worship? Do you get in the Word? You know, when it comes to this stuff, do you rebuke the enemy's presence? Now, let me tell you one last thing in this last minute we have. Here's a verse I want to give you. Saul of Tarsus got saved, got filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 9. In 1 hour, you can't get it all, but we can give you some things. Let me give you tonight, Acts 9:22. Grow more and more powerful. I want to thank you for being with me tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Take a look at the site, shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look at the book coming out. A lot of awareness there. Awareness, authority, armor, action. God bless you. Hope to see you Friday night. The Lord Jesus bless you.